everything. This is Elizabeth Joyce on Let's Find Out, and I hope that everybody tonight is preparing for the new moon, the solstice, and beginning to open their hearts to the world. Tonight I have a wonderful person coming on with us. He is an excellent astrologer. He is well known around the world, and his real specialty is relocation astrology, which fascinates me. I wish I knew more about it. Our guest is Mark Dodich. Good evening, Mark.
Hello there. Happy solstice.
Happy solstice and new moon, and it's all together. I think the time is now.
It is. I've been excited about this new moon that's coming up here. Shall I tell you why?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, this new moon, this gets a little weird, but it's aligned with the star Betelgeuse up in the Orion constellation. Uh-huh. And that constellation or that star itself is aligned with the center of the Milky Way galaxy. So the Milky Way galaxy is about 27 degrees of Sagittarius, and Betelgeuse and Orion is at about the same degree of Gemini, the opposite sign. So I'm looking at this like bookends, like, oh, this is the beginning of the end of the Mayan calendar, because right now we are aligned with galactic center and Betelgeuse from the Gemini side. And in December, the same thing will happen from the Sagittarius side. So that's how I'm looking at it, like bookends, so to speak.
And you had that in your newsletter. And, of course, I found that fascinating. But when I was looking at it and reading the newsletter, Mark, I saw an arc like a rainbow from one to the other. These next 6 months are going to be so powerful and is going to create so much change. I don't think a lot of people are really going to know how to handle it, Mark, because it starts right on the 21st, and the 29th is a D-Day to me, because I do think that we're going to have some world leader problems. I think we're going to have problems over in Greece. I think we're going to have problems with the euro, and I also think we're going to have some weather coming in from our space weather, from the sun. So it's going to be very interesting. The sun is directly overhead on the night of the solstice. And, you know, I get a little confused. Maybe you can help me out. Is it the 20th or the 21st on the northern hemisphere?
You mean for the summer solstice?
Yes.
Basically, in Eastern time, it would be at 7.09 p.m. on the 20th. Mm-hmm. And that's what confuses a lot of people. Solstice is oftentimes quoted in Greenwich time, you know, in England. And when it's a different day here, you know, people get confused. But for the United States, it's basically Wednesday evening, the 20th, depending on what time zone you're in.
Well, you know, this energetic work that we're going to be required to do between now and December is going to remind us that it's time. We're going to have to do less physically, less thinking, and really concentrate on the oneness, Mark, because people are getting divine headaches, they're spinning, they're getting nauseous, and they all know that this is symptoms. I call it fifth dimension systems, the energy systems, because their bodies are being fine-tuned to a higher level.
And I've been telling people not to panic, that they think there's something wrong. And the truth is, there's nothing wrong. It's just we're creating a new paradigm, a new consciousness. It's been building up for years at this point in time. And here it is. So welcome it. And I know it's uncomfortable for a lot of us, but, you know, the world's changing and our choice is either to go with it or get left behind.
Well, I call them multiple energies, and they're increasing throughout the rest of June, and they're going to build right through December. So if you need to rest, to sleep, to nap, I think you should do it. And don't feel guilty about it. Don't feel guilty about doing nothing. I had such an experience last weekend, Mark. I went up to New York State to see some family members, and I went to a wedding. And in this town in the middle of the Catskills, I'm sure you remember where they are, there was no Wi-Fi. There was no cell phones. There was no computers. I had the best time.
All right.
I did no thing.
Good for you.
They have the family values, the closeness of people, and the kids come over for Sunday dinner. I felt like I was back in the 50s. I really did.
Excellent.
But it was wonderful.
Well, we must be in sync because I just got back from the big astrology conference down in New Orleans that happens every 4 years called UAC. I didn't take my computer. I had no internet. I did not check my phone messages. I just went to learn and be a part of this big event and not have to check my email every hour.
You know what I wanted to mention? Oh, that's great. I wanted to mention something before about the energies. I'm sorry that I forgot. And that is, do you believe that every personal house has its own vibration?
Absolutely. In astrology, of course, for the non-astrologers in the audience, the houses are each of those 12 pie-shaped segments in the circle. And absolutely, not only do they have their own vibration, but of course, as you know, we have a term called rulership, that a certain planet is the boss of that area. So if you want to get real fancy in astrology, you can start connecting up different areas of your chart. For example, a person who wants to make more money, well, maybe the area that represents their money house, what we'd call the second house, maybe the ruler is up in the 10th house's career where you need to step up and be seen. Right. In another place, it might be in a relationship house.
Well, the transits affect it too.
Their
natal
time.
Chart, and then the transits, of course, forget the energy. But I do want to say that I think that people are going to be doing their errands, going to the post office, going to the bank, going food shopping, and they're going to come home and be exhausted, and they're not going to understand why. Part of it is energetic, because you're walking out into the public, and then you're going back to your home, and there's a change of energy there as well.
I would agree, and I would also suggest that just even things like watching the news on television has potential burnout for people. Mm-hmm. Starting on Sunday the 24th of June and lasting until spring of 2015, the planet Uranus, which is revolutions and earthquakes and blow everything up, is going to be in a challenging relationship we call a square to Pluto, which is burn my bridges behind me.
And what is that exactly? What degrees? I know one is in Capricorn.
Capricorn is where Pluto is, so we could talk about reforming government or taxes or infrastructure issues.
Well, that's why I say there's going to be a change in leadership, and we are. That's what they're doing. They're doing it in the Supreme Court with our health issues, and they're doing it in Greece with the euro.
Well, and of course, over on the other side, you have Uranus in Aries, which is hurry up, I want it yesterday, throw the baby out with the bathwater and start all over.
But it can also show some lightning and heavy weather. It can also show some violence. Aries, to me, is guns and soldiers.
Absolutely, and we've certainly seen that in Syria lately, and in my mind, this is just ramping up. I mean, it hasn't even started yet. And it's going to run through spring of 2015. But, you know, before people get all fearful about it, and there will be scary things happen, there's no question about that. But the truth is we've known that the way we've been doing things in the world hasn't really been working for a long time. And that's not to get political for people. It's just, you know, the way government is doing things is just not working. And business
well, if you go to non-political, you want to go over to the Vatican, where they fired the butler because of something that he tried to do with the Pope, and there you have something else, another change of power. Or you have a General Electric, I don't know if you just heard this, I was pretty upset, has moving to Beijing, China. So General Electric has been one of our blue chip stocks that's always represented the United States, and they're going to Beijing, China.
That's amazing. And but on another level, you know, we need to recognize that we're all interconnected. And, you know, I'm out here in Portland, Oregon, and we've got debris landing on our beaches from the Japan earthquake a year ago.
Oh, gosh.
And so to think that the whole world is separate, that we're separate from the Chinese or what's going on in, you know, little Greece. Look how a little country like that is affecting us. And for me, I look at this Uranus squaring Pluto coming up for the next couple of years is saying, you know what, we need to change the way we're looking at the world and who we are and how we are manifesting our needs in the world.
Well, that's just what I was going to say. Of course, you know, I think that we have to bring more love into the world. And the interesting part is that when you do meditate now, it's on a fast track. You feel like you're on a roller coaster because you can manifest. And you can manifest by wishing on a star. You can manifest by putting the picture in your mind, and then it'll happen. I'll give you an example in a minute, but let's listen to Linda tell us about wishing upon a star.
Upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to
Well, there you go. She's reminding us about that little Jiminy Cricket and how he wished upon a star and how we all can. And I wanted to give people a little bit of love and hope while we were talking about all these calamities here. So let's give them some hope. Tell us about this fast-moving track we're going to be on with Jupiter in Gemini.
Well, you know, first, I'm totally of the philosophy that we volunteered to incarnate on planet Earth at this time for this transition, and we wanted it. And it's easy to get caught up in the fears of the things that are going on, but the truth is, it's the old, you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. And so we're all creating this new reality, and the beauty is we get to be here to be a part of it.
But so many people are going to go into fear and anger, Mark, and they're going to react, and they're going to try to hang on to what they've got, and they think they've got something. What do we do about that?
Well, number one is we are going to have to learn healthy boundaries and detachment from the soap opera. Number two, we're going to have to practice staying in our centered inner being, you know, whether that's through meditation or a walk in the woods, that we consciously, as light workers, need to be responsible for our own energy field, not like, shall we say, having people, I call them energetic vampires, draining our energy. And the other part, I'm sorry,
I
go
had
ahead.
A question. Yeah, I had a neat happening the other day. Somebody asked me about raising their heart center to a higher center and how to stay in the now. And I suggest that people for maybe a half an hour a day just feel and be and do what they're doing. If you're ironing, love the ironing. Love the piece of material that you're ironing. If you're making your omelet, Mark, add some things like, you know, some cheese or some peppers or something. But stay in the now and don't worry about yesterday or tomorrow. What do you think about that?
I think that's perfect. And I think things like just stopping and taking a few breaths before you speak or take an action, just breathing is a good thing. And at the risk of being rude, you know, sometimes when things get too intense, I'll just go to the bathroom, wash my hands. It's a natural elimination process and allows me to regain my center.
And that's good. I always like to put my thumb into the center, my right thumb into the center of my left palm, and then I take some deep breaths. And I was taught that by a great yogi teacher. It's wonderful for going into your center. And you can do it quickly, like if you're at the grocery store and you can't wash your hands or something. You can always do that. But I do want to talk more about Jupiter, which, of course, to me, since my Jupiter is in Gemini, I feel everything is rushed up. The days are going so fast, Mark.
I've been telling people in my newsletter and what have you that you better plan your time off this summer, because if you don't, it'll be gone. Mm. And I'm calling it kind of a quickening, because Jupiter, which is expansive and do it big, is spending a year now in the sign Gemini. And Gemini is quick, 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 quick. It's versatile, it's adaptable, it's flexible. So one of the things I'm thinking is I've been trying to tell the people who have what we call fixed signs, you know, Taurus and Scorpio mm-hmm. and Leo Aquarius, they're the ones who hold on for dear life and don't change because they're survivors.
Well, Gemini, Taurus.
yeah. And Gemini says, well, we're going to have to adapt. We're going to have to be flexible. And even me, I've seen it in just very simple level ways of my life that I thought I'm on cruise control, everything's working, I'm in my nice, neat little rut. Well, the gym I've been working at closed down and is forcing me to move to a different gym, which is just changing all my little daily habits of, you know, gym, post office, bank sort of things. And then the bank changed their rates, so I had to move banks. And so I'm seeing the world change around me, and it's not big stuff. I mean, you know, we can handle the cataclysmic stuff. Everybody seems to do okay when the big things come along. It's those annoying little things that disrupt our nice, neat little plan for the day.
And it can bring anger, and it can bring unwarranted anger, because if you're holding something inside, Mark, I'm finding with Mars, even though it's retrograde, it's going to turn in on July 3rd, I'm finding that the anger is being kept inside, and then when something little goes wrong, like a bank changing or maybe not enough stamps on a letter that you mailed, you blow up.
Yeah, and with Jupiter in Gemini, Gemini is verbal, so it's going to come out our mouth.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, that can get us in trouble, I think.
I do too. But I also want to say about Jupiter and Gemini that it has a danger to it. It has the danger of overextending, of gambling, of making you feel that you can do anything and take risks. So we should warn people about that, as well as gaining weight.
Absolutely. And, you know, with Jupiter being a gambler, and when I see Jupiter favorable in somebody's chart, I'll say, yeah, it's okay to go buy a lottery ticket, but you don't need to buy 100.
Right.
Because people feel, I'm so lucky, I'll buy 100. Well, if you're going to win, you'll win on one. You don't need to spend all that money on 100.
Oh, I've said that for years. I really have. What do you think Jupiter is going to do with regard to these solar flares and the weather?
Well, that'll be interesting, because Jupiter is such a big planet that it actually does have a strong effect on the sun. And that's coming from the science side, not just the astrology side. But we do know that either this year or next year, we're going to be at what's called solar maximum, which is part of that 11.1-year sunspot cycle that peaks periodically.
And that's in 2013?
Well, the scientists aren't saying, they don't actually know. It's either this year or next year is what they're speculating.
And what does that create, Mark?
Well, I'll give you the philosophy, but use discernment here. The idea is that the solar flares, when they come our way, jiggle the electromagnetic system of the planet, kind of like an MRI machine jiggles, mm-hmm. you know, your body to do an X-ray. And the metaphysical philosophy is that it activates what's the pineal gland, which not everybody really knows what the pineal gland does. But one speculation is it has to do with our senses or our psychic abilities,
our ability to intuit. The book I just wrote, Ascension Access in the Fifth Dimension, in the workbook, I explain it to a T. We're opening the ninth chakra, which is right behind the head, between the two occipital bones. And when the ninth chakra opens, it's going to have a laser from the ninth at the lower part of the back of the head to the third eye in the front of the head. And that will create an energetic flow coming out of the third eye. So we're going to have like a new pyramid crystal in our third eye, and we're going to have a point of power about 6 feet in front of the third eye. I have all of this diagrammed in the book, and my meditation on the spiritual chakras explains how to open the ninth chakra. The eighth is first, and then the 8.5 is behind the head, and the ninth is at the base of the skull, and it goes through to the sixth again, and it's very, very, very interesting. Some people are feeling it because the color is crimson, and people are seeing crimson as they close their eyes, and the other color that's coming in is amber. So the pineal gland, I have a list on the back of the book. I made a chart. It's really fabulous, and it shows every single gift that we're getting as we open each chakra. And the pineal gland is attached to our past lives, our Akashic records, as well as our spiritual development and growth.
And I think as it gets jiggled through these solar flares, that's going to help us to open up or to break old patterns. And you could add to that, you know, we've talked before that the planet Neptune has moved into Pisces back in February, and it's going to be there for 14 years. And, of course, Neptune and Pisces are buddies. They like each other, and they both have to do with our spirituality. They have to do with opening our intuition, spiritual healing, visionary art, music healing.
Yes.
All things that are coming in under this. And so, you know, there's so much going on astrologically in the sky that it's hard to point and say, oh, the sunspots are doing it, or Neptune's doing it, or Jupiter, because
the sunspots are active. Jupiter pulls, you know. One is a pulling sensation, but the other one is a flare that's coming right into our atmosphere. So I think that's why we're concentrating more on this cold space weather. But the other thing is that there's symptoms, as we said, of our bodies adjusting. And instead of worrying about maybe a fluttering heart or a buzzing in the ear, take time to try to get centered, because your etheric body, the body that astral travels and does your out-of-body, is getting stronger, and it's going to be leading us to have more connection with our galactic neighbors. And so it has to go through this fine attunement before it can come into our physical body, or we would burn up, right?
Absolutely. And what I'd like to add to what you're saying is I think it's important to be in movement, because Gemini is a moving sign.
Okay.
And whether that's getting out and walking a labyrinth or walking in the woods or doing a dance or something, it's about getting your energy field moving. And that's what Gemini does, is it moves. It doesn't sit still.
Well, I've been wanting to do that. You know, I used to dance on the stage. I guess you knew that, and I did a lot of dancing and some television work when I was younger. I was on American Bandstand, and I've wanted now to get back to dancing, and I was wondering why, but you feel like you want to just, you know, do some movement, and I've been feeling that almost every day.
Yeah, I think that's a part of it. And then Uranus moving into Aries for this 7-year path. Aries moves where you're more, ecstatic dance, you know, a little more wild and crazy, where Gemini's maybe more like walking.
One is floating on the ceiling and the other one is dancing in Africa.
Yeah, and what it's really about, it's about getting our energy system moving and out of a what we'll call a stuck place.
Well, because the weight gain in this country, you know, the movement is going to help us with that, with the weight gain. And also it's going to help you with the natural weight gain that you have when Jupiter is moving in and hitting your own Jupiter.
Absolutely, I'd agree with that totally.
We'll probably have more babies born, and we'll have more twins and triplets, because I know that Gemini, Aquarius, and Libra bring us our twins and triplets.
You know, I've never tracked that. We'll have to watch that one.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done that for years, and it's really neat. My mother actually was pregnant 3 times with identical twins, and she was a double Libra with an Aquarius rising. How do you like that?
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That was a wow. Pretty neat. So tell us more about what you see coming over the summer months. Hot, wet, what do you see?
Well, you know, I hate to be a bearer of doom and gloom. You know how I like to put a positive spin to everything, but there are some major challenges coming up this summer. You know, we're going to have Mercury retrograde in the fire sign Leo from July 14th to August 7th. And if you looked at the other things that are going on at this time, and particularly the end of July, beginning of August, there's a lot of planets in what, you know, we use the four elements, fire, earth, air, and water. And there's going to be a lot of fire and air. Well, we've already had a bad fire season, and it's just barely getting started. And then you take fire and wind and put that into places. I've been telling people to be careful if you're going to choose to go camping in a place that is a high fire zone. You know, that could
be
problematic.
Yeah. You know, I wrote down some summer folklore from New England, from my grandmother. And one is that easterly winds, we did have easterly winds from May 19th to the 21st, indicate a dry, hot summer is ahead. And if there are many falling stars during a clear summer evening, you can expect thunder. And if there are no falling stars, then you can expect fine weather. And a ring around a summer moon protects rain the next day. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. No. fun. I love that. You know, there's always an element of truth in those things.
Well, we used to want to go swimming the next day. When we were little kids, we'd go up to New Hampshire, and my grandmother was such a shaman. She was wonderful. She'd say, "You see that red ring around the moon? You better enjoy today because tomorrow's going to rain." And it would rain. It would rain. Yep. That we'd have to do indoor things. So where are we? Where are we now, Mark? We're getting these new energies, and we're learning about sleeping if you can, and not making yourself wrong and taking naps and slowing down your energy. What else can we do? If everything is going so fast, it's kind of an opposite thing to say that, isn't it?
Well, the incredible positive thing is this is an opportunity to open up to new ideas or new ways of doing things, to break out of old paradigms and old patterns. And so for people who are willing to be innovative and try new things, I will say that this summer has more of what I call the butterfly in the field of flowers. We need to go experiment and explore with a lot of different things, because when we get to fall, we'll be talking about Saturn moving into Scorpio, which, you know, is choice time, but we don't want to put all that heaviness on people just yet. The point is, this summer, go explore, experiment, open to new ideas, take short, quick classes, start to bring your ideas out, and don't worry if there's 23 new ideas that you have. When we get to fall, you'll pick the ones that are most important and actually put some effort into them.
Well, let's talk a little bit about relationships. What do you see with relationships this year?
Well, you know, it's been interesting. We have currently we have the planet Venus, which is, you know, kind of a love and money planet, is retrograde from May 15th to June 27th.
Right.
And, of course, that was part of the everybody saw in the paper that it transited across the face of the sun back a week or so ago. And then the planet Mars earlier this year was retrograde in the sign Virgo, when I was telling everybody, oh, it's time to clean your closets or get rid of your clutter. Well, with this summer solstice this week, what it means is that Mars is exiting what we call the shadow. So there's a backwards place, and then there's a gap before you get to move forward. And earlier you mentioned that on July 3rd, Mars is going to move into the next sign, finally, after 8 months, into Libra, the sign of relationships.
Oh, well, that should strengthen them. Let's hope.
Well, there's that, but you also have to remember, and hopefully not to overload people, but since the summer of 2010, the planet Saturn has been moving through Libra, restructuring our ideas about relationships. Not just love, but business, family, all types of relationships.
How we interact with others.
Yep. And so we're kind of in a final hurrah between basically now and the second week of October of saying, what do we need to finish up in terms of restructuring our relationship beliefs and behaviors?
Well, I think we need to talk about that, and we're going to go more into relationships. I wish people would call in and ask questions. That would be wonderful. And we're going to listen to these messages first.
Wisdom Magazine is one of the East Coast's largest free publications, with more than 1,000 distributed bimonthly in three regional areas, New England, New York City and New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Wisdom is dedicated to opening the people's hearts and minds to the philosophy, products, and services of the new millennium, bringing love, peace, and positive information into the community. Elizabeth writes the astrology column for Wisdom, as well as a weekly astrology update for the Wisdom Magazine website. Visit us at wisdom-magazine.com to view our web edition. Enjoy a spiritual retreat this summer with Elizabeth Joyce and friends. Heaven on Earth, an evolutionary intensive. The dates are August 24th through 26th, 2012. This retreat will be held at the Kirkridge Retreat Center in Bangor, Pennsylvania, the heart of the Poconos Mountains. The other teachers are Judith Greentree and the shaman Summer Hawk Wolf. You will live in peace and learn how to tap your creative flow. Learn how to express yourself inwardly to the world. When you wake every morning to bird songs in a beautifully run estate and spend your days empowering your body, mind, and spirit in a community of loving people, artists, writers, yoga, teachers, shamans, and spiritual seekers, you can make headway on even the most daunting energy blocks. This is a chance to come together with individuals from across the country in a shared passion for authentic spiritual transformation. Walking the labyrinth and meditating in the pond or the rock garden as we find out who we are, free from the distractions of our worldly commitments. This awakens participants to a new perspective in the human experience. Walk the space of abiding love, emotional support, caring, freedom, and true sharing. Elizabeth will guide you to a higher frequency. As your body vibration changes, you heal from within, and that's when the magic happens. Learn how to express yourself without fear. Discover who you are at the deepest levels of your being. Experience the freedom of ascension consciousness. Meet your guides and angels and merge with them for higher knowledge. Find out the meaning of walking the enlightened life of the world. Or you can spend your time in silence and walk the grounds of Kirkridge, snuggled so peacefully in the Pennsylvania Pocono Mountains. All classes and activities are optional. For a schedule, visit www.thebcma.net. To register, contact Elizabeth Joyce at elizabeth_joyce@verizon.net or at 215-996-0646. Come and evolve with us over the wonderful summer of 2012. Is it a headache or someone wishing you ill? Is a sudden change in behavior due to drugs or the influence of evil? Do you find it hard to pray, to reach out to God? Psychic attack is more common than one might think and is a malady that can be overcome by specific metaphysical and spiritual treatment. Elizabeth Joyce clearly explains what the symptoms of psychic attack are, where it comes from, how you can overcome the attack, and what simple exercises and meditations you can do to protect yourself from future attacks. She compares psychic attacks from days gone by with their modern counterparts and illustrates with antidotes and examples. Is there any such thing as a ghost, and can they harm you? Can other people's negative and destructive thoughts harm you? If so, you can take steps to protect yourself from these energies. Although you would seek and find help with any physical emergency, this book, Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce, can be helpful by your learning good spiritual practices for clearing away negative energies and keeping up with the housework of the soul. Then, if something overthrows you, there are some good strategies at hand so you can begin to remove them. Learn what to do as well as what not to do. Elizabeth Joyce is an expert on ghost busting, and she has been to court on many occasions helping people get their money back from the gypsies and so-called psychic stealers. This is a book that you'll want to pick up and keep in your library because it's a how-to book as well as an informative book. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce is available at Amazon.com as well as the website www.new-visions.com. Be sure to pick up Psychic Attack. You will want to hear Elizabeth's personal story as well as get this great information that could be helpful to you and your family in the future. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce. Opening your spiritual chakras is the next stage of your physical body's shifting reality. Your body is now merging with your etheric or universal body and the new spiritual chakra centers. You will begin to experience a realm of many vibrant prismatic colors and dancing energy patterns will emerge. By opening your spiritual chakras and merging with your universal body, you will come together in marvelous ways, and new spiritual powers will begin to emerge into your body system. The chakras are your major energy centers, and they allow you to transform your physical body and integrate with its spiritual body to function properly in the new fifth dimension energies. To accomplish these complex intertwining procedures, the spiritual hierarchy intends to bring forth four additional chakras as soon as possible: the eighth, the 8.5, the 9th, and the 10th. These four new chakra centers will permit you to manage the immensity of multidimensional information inherent to your new physical body. The physical body will be walking in sync with the universal body. In addition, the four spiritual chakras will transform the other seven, thereby allowing them to take on many new responsibilities. Elizabeth Joyce has created a new CD to help you open your spiritual chakras. This is very valuable and is one of the primary ways needed for you to begin the ascension process and work well in the fifth dimension energies that are now coming onto the planet. In addition to the four spiritual chakras and the seven regular physical chakras, there is an extra chakra, the foot chakra, or the zero chakra. This is your earth grounding center, and it is located at the balls of your feet. Above the crown chakra are four more numbers, 8, 10, 11, and 12. The main purpose of these extended chakras, which has always been a part of the energetic field, including our aura, is to enable the individual to tune into his or her inner God self, the divine will, and even the galactic community that surrounds and supports the earth in its evolution. This is a CD that you will want to have and work with on a daily basis between now and December 21st, 2012. It is available here at bbsradio.com under the Let's Find Out page, as well as Elizabeth Joyce's personal website, www.new-vision.com. Be sure to get the CD, Opening Your Spiritual Chakras, with music by Richard Shulman, so that you can advance yourself and find security in these new, wonderful fifth dimension energies. Again, that's www.new-visions.com or bbsradio.com under Let's Find Out. You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com, Station 1. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. Let's Find Out and our honored guests come to us every other Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you would like to call in and ask a question, please dial 888-627-6008 in the U.S. and Canada. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Now, if you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety, a podcast will be available tomorrow, and you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with our host, Elizabeth Joyce.
And we're back. How are you, Mark? We were talking about Jupiter, and we were talking about the sweethearts and the lovers and all of the wonderful things that astrology can bring. How do you know you have a soulmate? How do you know where you should live? And what's the best thing to do if two people are getting married? Did they come to you and ask you that, Mark?
You know, pretty much any question under the sun is fair game, you know, with astrologers, as you know. But certainly, I'd have to say this year, I have seen more people with business relationship questions than romance relationship questions, which is, you know, kind of backwards from what I normally see. And I don't know if that's because of the economy or what have you, but I don't know. You know what I'm doing in terms of relationships, you know, since it's the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. What I was going to say is something to watch in the world is the full moon that's on July 3rd lands right on the spiritual destiny of Prince William and the moon, which is emotions or like motherhood of his wife, Kate Middleton.
Well, yeah, I do know that she's I do know that she is pregnant, and I also know that it does something with Queen Elizabeth. When I was meditating, I got that he's going to become king. If she has a son, Elizabeth will step down. I believe she will, and I think it has to do with her health reasons.
Entirely possible. When we get to this fall and Saturn moves into Scorpio, you know that the Queen is born as a Taurus, so Scorpio is on the opposite side of Taurus, so it's kind of like this tug of war thing going on. So it'll be interesting to watch in October, because the Saturn moving into Scorpio, which is perhaps a fall topic, is going to play heavily in the Royals charts.
Oh, I think we'll have a lot more to say in September. We'll have talk about Obama and the election and everything that's going on, because I still do not see him on the ticket. I do not see Obama on the ticket. I don't want people to get mad at me. I only am telling you about astrology. He was nominated when Mercury was retrograde. He was elected when Mercury was retrograde. He took his oath of office when Mercury was retrograde. So I've been concerned.
Well, I've started looking at the charts because, you know, everybody asks an astrologer who's going to win. And my standard answer is I like to wait till after the convention when you actually know who the vice presidents are going to be.
That's a good idea. That's another thing. I didn't know if it was going to be Biden. I don't feel it will. I don't feel he's going to run with Biden, even though he says he is at this point.
Well, that's what I've been saying for the last year, and so far I keep getting proved wrong. I didn't think that – well, you know, I said just looking at Joe Biden's chart, I didn't think that he would be running as vice president again. And I know that smacks at tradition that what I said is completely wrong compared to the way it works.
Well, that happens.
You know, who knows? At this point it looks like he's running and I was wrong, but time will tell. And but the truth is, when you look at a winner, you want to look at the candidate, you want to look at their vice president, you want to look at their wives' charts, because if one's going to win, you should see a win in all their charts.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about a little bit of visualization and trying to make yourself go higher in these vibrations to create your reality. I think William has another message for us. This is about how we can fly without an airplane.
I walked among trees shedding orange and brown, found two golden feathers in the fern, with one in each hand.
Okay, I think he's learning how to fly. He's just taking some leaves and he's making wings and it's working. Do you think we'll be able to get that strong with these new energies, Mark?
Well, I hope so. I think it's time for all the light workers to lighten up and, you know, not hide who they are anymore.
I think it would be great to levitate. What do you think? That's always been something I've wanted to do.
Hey, you know, we've got the privatization of space going on right now. Why shouldn't that work for us as, you know, mere mortals too? You know?
It would be great to be able to do that, but I think we're all going to have to lose some weight in order to do that. So let's talk more about how Mars is going to move into Libra and what that's going to bring in July. That would be July, correct?
Well, it starts on July 3rd, and as a normal rule, Mars goes through every sign in about 6 weeks. So that means from July 3rd till the it's late August, around the 25th or thereabouts, actually the 23rd. So what that means is, let's just use the basic Libra words. We're being called into balance. If we want to take that to a spiritual level, we're being called to, in esoteric astrology, we would say, you know, which has to do with soul growth, we would say that it is about revolutionizing our value systems to bring us into a higher balance. And there's all kinds of stuff on that at astromark.us, you know, the webpage.
Right,
if they want
astromark.us, correct?
But the key thing is Mars is about taking action. It's a warrior energy. And one of the things about Libra is it's not Mars's favorite sign. It's less comfortable. Mm-hmm. And yet at the same time, you could call that kind of a spiritual warrior, or you remember the old book, The Peaceful Warrior,
yes.
would fit right into this combination. So how can we assert ourselves in the world to say, I need to bring my values into the world, I need to bring myself into a higher balance? If it's exercise and diet, Libra would say we need to do it in a balanced way, not a try to fix it overnight kind of a way.
Well, you know, at the end of July, Mars is going to conjunct Saturn in Libra.
That'll, I think, particularly be strong in the middle of August. So the end of July, it'll get started. And by the middle of August, it'll be like directly alignment.
And what's that going to bring?
So Mars is hurry up, I want it yesterday, and Saturn is be patient, work for the long term. So some people are going to feel it as a hurry up and wait kind of energy, mm-hmm. and other people are going to say, I am ready to put my ambition into something that is going to produce long-term results. I'm not looking for the short, quick kill. So
that could be a new contract. It could be starting a new company. It could be somebody saying, we want you to do this for us, and you think it's just going to be one thing, and it turns out to be a lifelong profession. Are those the things that we're talking about?
Those would be good on the worldly level, and on the personal level, it could be a person saying, I'm ready to commit myself in a relationship. Of course, you always have the flip side. You know, there's always a pro and a con. If people are in a relationship that can't go the distance, then, you know, it's got to crash and burn so that you can get into one that will take you the distance.
Well, what about one that's been going the distance, but it's really been sad and upsetting for both people for a long time? What do you think would happen there, especially when there's in their charts, there's Libra and Aquarius?
Sure. Well, you know, Saturn rules boundaries and Mars rules asserting yourself. So we know that things coming to a head. And remember, we're talking about things that really realistically started back in the summer of 2010 when Saturn first moved into Libra are coming to a culmination point. So things that are going to get better have the opportunity to get better. And things that are done just need to be honored as saying it's done. Let's clean it up. Let's put it away and go to the next phase of our life.
Well, and, I think we're in a year of wonder and awe, and I think that we're going to be changing history this year, not only through purging everything, but also things are coming up that are being pushed into our life that we thought we had handled. It feels like we're being taken back, like I said, I was back in the 50s, but we're being taken back into relationships and things that happened in the past. I guess that's to heal. What do you think about that? Does that have to do with Mars and Saturn? Or maybe
particularly Saturn, and the other part is Pluto, which is in Capricorn. Pluto's the burn my bridges behind me.
Right.
Capricorn rules the past and traditional type things. Some people who are being called to move on are being called to release what, I get people all the time. They come and they say, oh, I've worked on that issue, Mark. I'm done with that. And then something will come along and ha ha, you're not done with that issue.
Famous last words, right?
Yep. Yep.
Well, what we do? We bring people that are similar to what we think we've cleared. The minute that you, leave a relationship, you bring back the same energy in a different face, but you don't know it in the beginning. So you have to start all over again.
But, you know, as we get wiser, I hope that we start to see the red flags and then say, oh, been there, done that. Because you're right, the universe will test us to see if we've got the lesson or if we need to go another round. And then we make our choices and we, you know, there's no judgment is what I'd want to get across to people. It's, hey, if I need to repeat a lesson, then I repeat a lesson. You know, no big deal, no judgment on it. You know, we have this linear consciousness, which is going away that, oh, I have to do this, and then I have to do the next thing and the next thing. Well, you know, if you go back into like the old emerald tablets and what have you, you'll see that the universe is circular. And we need to start thinking in more circular terms rather than linear.
I think so, too. Circular, I was just going to say, getting married, having more weddings. As you said, people wanted to commit, especially with Mars conjuncting Saturn in Libra. So let's hear what Les Paul and Mary Ford have to say about this. This is going to take us way back to the 50s.
Somewhere there's music, I'll paint the tune. Somewhere there's heaven, high, high in the moon. There is no moon above, and love is far away too. Till it comes true that you love me inside of you. Somewhere there's music, I'll dare how far. Somewhere there's heaven, it's where you are. The darkest night would shine if you would come to me still.
Well, there we go. I don't know how high there is at the moon. But I do know that when there's a new moon, there's no moon at all. What do you think of that, Mark? When there's a new moon, there's no moon at all.
So, kind of like the concept of you can move mountains by just pretending they're an illusion and not there. Maybe the moon's the same way, huh?
It could be. I don't know. But they find the moon usually when they meet and commit and fall in love. Then they say they're going to fly to the moon. Let's have your website. I do want to get that out to the people.
Sure. It's www.astromark.us, astromark.us. And the summer solstice newsletter was just uploaded, so they can download that on the monthly astrology report page at astromark.us.
Good. Now let's talk about how you do relocation charts. We have enough time to talk about moving people here and there. And if a couple is getting married and they come to you, what would you do? How would you tell them where they would need to live?
Well, first you cast a chart just like you do in astrology. The one thing about this form of astrology is you need accurate birth time. But the way it works, and we've got easily 50 years of research on this topic, is that there are certain power zones that are either better maybe for career or for relationship or for retirement or health or whatever. And I always like to dispel the illusion that people think, oh, there's one place I'm going to go that's going to have everything. Well, no, as human beings, we have to choose our priorities, and that's just a part of the service. But I'm thinking with Jupiter and Gemini is a very restless energy. We're going to see a lot of people moving. I'm also thinking we'll see some mass migration of people on the planet.
Oh, yes? And what's that about?
Well, I think that, you know, in some cases it's because of climate change that they have to move. You know, think of the drought-ridden areas of, you know, Somalia or something to that effect.
Well, when you said that, I was thinking of Japan and the people having to leave Japan.
Or certainly leave parts of Japan, or coastal areas of Japan would not be a surprise. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no question about it. But I also see a lot of people who have been wanting to move for years, but because their house wouldn't sell or whatever, they didn't go anywhere. They just got stuck. And now they're saying, stuck or not, I need to make some changes here.
Well, I think when Mars moves into Libra, that's going to sell houses because it's ruled by Venus. And I do think Libra's ruled by Venus. And I do think the housing market will improve for a while. And maybe it will be only that 6 weeks. I don't know. But once we go into Scorpio energies, it's going to be a whole different ballgame.
Well, and those people who have been hanging on by their thumbnails, we may very well see another round of bankruptcies in the housing market when that does happen.
I think that for next year. I don't see that for now.
Well, because that doesn't even start till October, so that's kind of after the season for most places.
But the Libra, this is your pigeonhole. This is your opening moment to really think about selling your house and relocating now while it's still in Libra and as soon as Mars moves into Libra. I think that's going to give people the energy and perhaps some of the offers for sales more than we've had in the past. And I do think it will be temporary of about 6 weeks, but then people are going to start to be able to resolve things. We also might have better luck with the banks in changing our mortgage, don't you think?
I do, because it's a time of, with Saturn getting ready to finish Libra and then Mars in Libra, it's kind of a double whammy effect, that we're all being called to consolidate our energy. Where have we been leaking our energy, or where have we been in some hopeful, wishful thinking mode that needs a Saturn dose of reality later this summer? So, you know, I'm thinking that we're all going to have to make some more choices as to, is it time to let go or is it time to take something to the next level? What is going to bring us into a higher balance is really going to be the issue. But we also have to remember to play this summer, okay? Yes. We don't want to forget that part.
Because it's going to go so fast, it really is. I know that the end of July and August might be uncomfortable with heat, but then it will be gone and we're going into some very strange and unpredictable weather like we had last year, Mark. And it's been wonderful having you on the show. We're getting ready now to go into our meditation. I'm going to have you back in September for the fall equinox, and we'll have to catch up then to find out if everything happened and how it all went. And we'll be closer to the election at that time. So that should be really good to hear about all those nice things. Is there anything more you want to say about the summer, upcoming summer?
I would just tell everybody to be flexible, be willing to adapt, don't get hard-headed in my way or the highway type thinking, and learn to be in flow with the universe. Just tap into what the universe is doing and be in harmony with it, which is always good advice.
So the bottom line is, don't eat too much, don't get fat, don't gamble too much, have a good time, love your family, and understand that it's okay to sleep and have your summer siestas, because you're going to need it. It's the body's being adjusted on the subtle levels. We are letting go of some of our reactions that are not only negative, they're subconscious, and some of us don't realize we're doing them, and we're getting into the heart. That's what we're doing this year over the next time.
Yep.
So, Mark, it's been wonderful having you. Thank you so much for your time and for your energy, and we will be back on July 2nd, and I have a wonderful lady who's going to be on. Her name is Reverend Monita Dupta, and we're going to talk about the last days and what we can expect and if we are in the last days and all of that. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Now it's time to get ready for your meditation. Good night.
Every human being has a purpose in life. Some people want to be scientists. Some people want to be doctors. Some people want to be artists. Some people want to be basketball players. Some people just want to find their soulmate and start a family. Everyone has his or her own desires. Everyone loves to do something and dreams about doing it well. If a person has a good profession, good relationships, a harmonized family, good health and happiness, that person feels successful in the physical life. Satisfaction in one's physical life is important. Many people have this kind of satisfaction, and they are blessed. Some people have this kind of physical satisfaction, yet they are not satisfied. They may feel that something is missing. They begin searching. They feel empty. They feel like they need to search for something, but they do not know exactly what they are searching for. If this resonates with you, I believe that you are searching for your soul's journey. I want you to sit with both feet flat on the floor, take a deep breath, hold your circuits, your thumb and forefinger, and begin to look for your inner psychic, your inner guide that might be able to help you open your heart, hear the truth, in order to go forward with a purposeful life and soul growth. Millions of people worldwide are already on their soul journey. They search for soul secrets, wisdom, knowledge, and practices. They want to know what the spiritual journey is and how to move forward in it. They want to be enlightened and learn how to reach enlightenment. The soul journey is moving forward on your soul and reaching wisdom and inner knowledge. A human's physical life is limited. To live for more than 100 years is great. To live longer than this is extraordinary. A human soul life is unlimited. Soul life is eternal. There is a realization that the relationship between the physical journey and the spiritual journey can be summarized in a one-sentence secret. The physical journey is to serve the soul's journey. If you offer great services to others, if you make others healthier and happier, if you help transform human consciousness, if you contribute to love, peace, and harmony for humanity, the Mother Earth and the universes, as well as our soul sisters and our space sisters, you will accumulate great virtue. Virtue is the record of your services. Heaven records these services. Your great virtue from your good service will uplift your soul standing. Your future lives will be significantly blessed. Your descendants, including your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and beyond, will be tremendously blessed. There is a famous ancient spiritual statement: ancestor plants the trees, and descendants enjoy the shade. You will also be helping your ascended timeline chain, the people that have already been on your timeline in your family karma and have passed on and ascended. You will be helping them as well as your future life. On the other hand, if you offer unpleasant service, such as killing, harming, and taking advantage of others, heaven also records these unpleasant services. These unpleasant services will profoundly influence you and your descendants in your future lives. This is wisdom, and it's called the wisdom of karma. Having a great success in the physical life is wonderful, but it's not enough. To develop the soul's life is vital. To develop the soul's life is to reach soul enlightenment. To reach soul enlightenment is to uplift your soul standing in the spiritual world. The higher your soul standing is, the more abilities the divine will give you to serve. The more you serve, the higher your spiritual standing will be. Finally, you will become a high-level spiritual being and will move closer and closer into the divine realms. Reaching the divine realms is the ultimate purpose of the spiritual journey. Now sit quietly. Feel that your master is coming. Your soul guide, your higher self, whoever you see, whoever you feel in this meditation. Hear him say to you, the higher the realm you reach in heaven, the more profound teaching you will receive from heaven, and the more soul power you are given by heaven on the earth to serve. This is the true path of every spiritual being. Be sure that you are aware of this wisdom, and be sure that you are following the path that's right for you and all those around you. When you listen to your inner psychic, the guidance will always be the best for everyone involved in the situation. And it will come in the right way for the right steps for you to take to enhance your life and grow as a soul and a person. And now we'll have our closing prayer. And now I want you to listen to your inner psychic, your inner being, your blessed higher self, your soul's message. What question do you need to ask your body, your mind, and your spirit? What do you need answered? Ask it now, and then wait for your answer. It always comes, and it comes as the best solution for all concerned. It can come through an email. It can come through a phone call. It can come through a thought. It can come through a dream. But it always comes. And know deep inside that all will be resolved as it should. And now let's have our closing prayer. Everyone in the world should be able to sleep without fear, at least for one night. Everyone should be able to eat his fill, at least for one day. There should be at least one day when hospitals see no one admitted due to violence. By doing selfless service for at least one day, everyone should help the poor and needy. It is Amma's prayer that at least this small dream become realized. Take a deep breath. Surround yourself with the white light and protection of the God Source and know that you are His and He is yours.